Hello and welcome back to another episode of It's Risky Business, a show about taking risks, pursuing your passion, and going after the things that you want to do in life. And look at this, Amanda. We are inside of a business on location for the first time here with these two incredible people. And as you know, we like to interview entrepreneurs, people that have taken risks, that have done amazing things to pursue their passion. And we're very excited to be here in the home of Sweet Havana Cafe, which is a place that I frequent often. And I'm just excited to be here with you to introduce yourselves.
Nice. Well, I like the CEO and founder.
I love that. I learned that word recently. I was like, I'm the founder.
Oh, yes.
I'm Nayelis Delitle. I am the founder of Sweet Havana Cafe and been here 18 years. And this day, I was born and raised in Cuba.
My name is Manny Lopez. I guess you can say the co-founder with this lovely, beautiful woman.
So what we'd like to do is just start from the beginning, as far back as you could take us. How did the idea come about? What were the steps? What were the obstacles? Anything that you can share about that journey?
I was in corporate America for many years, at least 20 to 20 something years in corporate America. And when we had our child, my wife was like thinking a lot about like putting together a business. And she always had in her mind of doing something along the lines of a coffee shop. Something that resembles something to her in Cuba. And because I had some experience in the coffee space, you know, I was interested in learning more about, you know, what she wanted to do. So when I came home one day, she was like, I got an idea. I want to open up a business. And I was like, oh, there we go.
Nice.
So even though we always talked about like opening up something or doing something together, and I always try to push her to do something because I thought she was a brilliant businesswoman.
Yeah, the idea started basically many years ago when I got to this country. I was 21, 18 years ago. So
if anybody's good at math out there, they're like...
it was a little... everything is a culture shocking when you get to the state, you know? Like, but I never had in my life a colada. Mm-hmm. So that was something that intrigued me. And so I was like, I wanted to introduce a different culture that we have in Cuba about our coffee. And I put it together in the time that I was having a year off because we have a second child. I was like, I'm going to have a year off. I'm going to like do yoga, enjoy life for a year. Yeah, I've been working since. And those nights breastfeeding my little one, and I was like, if I don't do it now, this idea that I have in my mind to put together more than a coffee shop, a place where people understand what Cuban coffee is from the people on the island, which is a moment to reset, it's a moment to talk, to enjoy, to meet people. Mm-hmm. And that's why we put together the concept of Paladar, which is a restaurant in someone's house in Cuba. Mm. So I wanted to put together a place where we sign about what is happening in Cuba right now with good coffee.
Yeah.
So the idea started.
Well, now that's the idea, right? Now we're going to go into the fun part, right? Because you have a husband that is working in corporate America that is responsible for Latin America, all of Latin America. So... I was living on a plane, but now we have a baby, you know, with another kid also. And then while I'm traveling, she's putting the idea together. You know, I think it's important for people to understand that, you know, that she did so much work, like so much work, carrying a baby around, you know, going to the city, trying to get permits. It's like those are the things that we kind of carry.
And those are the things that people don't see. So I love that you're telling me that. Yes. Because
man, it's like, you know.
It's been the 5 years. It's been like, this is the first time that we, this year is when we started telling our story with people. Because the 5 year was like, we're trying to open. We moved from where we were living closer to the business. Not knowing what we were doing. Doing something in hospitality. It was something that I started learning. We started learning and I fell in love with hospitality. It's my passion right now more than coffee. It's creating the space and like giving people a good product and telling the story, what is behind that product. So putting that all together, trying to figure out construction when we wasn't that like this today. And then when we start like kind of like seeing the little light, pandemic happened. Yeah. It was a time to fight for what we had, and we couldn't go back. Yeah. We have every penny that we save in our life here, put it in the business. It was like, it's no option. So we had to keep doing it.
So it's late 2018. We opened our doors on National Coffee Day, which we did not know. We found that out a year later when we were going to do the party, the first initial party. 2018 hits, the 2019, and we opened our doors. 2019, you know, like any small business, you're trying to do your due diligence to get it open. I'm still traveling in corporate America. trying to make it happen. Late 2019, we come out in an article on Condé Nast Traveler, right? Uh-huh. All of a sudden, we see a lot of French speaking people coming in to the shop in 1 week, and it was like French. And I was like, is there like an event happening with, you know, French? We come to find out that we came out in this article.
That was the first time that I Googled Suyavanaka
French. Yeah, she Googled it and it came out on the Condé Nast Traveler.
We're so busy trying to make it happen here that we forgot the rest. I was telling you, like, I'm sorry, but I didn't even have an Instagram page when we opened.
Yeah.
I was
this is super late 2019. Like, this is like December, right? So we were like, wow, the business is starting to flourish. We're starting to pick up, you know, like going from those little numbers to the next big number, you know? And then 3 months later, the pandemic hits. On top of that, we had all the construction on this road and everything else. So then from there, I get furloughed from my job, you know, a job that I was with for 15 years, you know? And
everything changing.
And then everything changed. You know, I was like, you know, I think it's time to join the family business.
Right.
You know?
It was a big decision. Like,
wow.
But the
pandemic was a catalyst for that, right? Yeah. The pandemic gave the little push for that. That's amazing. I didn't know that.
As a family, it was a big decision overnight. As a mom, a woman in the house, it was like, okay, we won't have insurance.
Yeah.
We won't have an income every month coming in.
It's the securities are stripped away.
We're going deep into some info here.
We like to get into the nuggets. We're getting in.
I only have my sister here, so we don't have a lot of family members. So it was me and Manny with the kids. So we were like working one day, Manny, and the whole day, me and at home with the kids. And we switched like that for a whole year.
She would come all day work, and I'll be at the house with the kids. And then, you know, every other day.
It was sad because at that point, I have like a really cool team that was with me since we started. And we were having fun. We were seeing the light, and I had to let them go. Like, we don't have any option. It was like, let's save the business. So anything that we sell, we use it to pay the rent. Mm. And that's it. It was a very tough year, but year that we learned more and more. Yeah. And the year that I fell in love with hospitality. Yeah. With the people, because
it became about the people again.
It became about the moments. Mm. The moment, the people, recognizing that we were like a community for a lot of them.
Yeah.
It was a point that like we were here every day, and there were days that we even like charged people. You know how we are here. We like to give a lot.
I can tell you a story that's happened is that one time I was here, was busy. They're like, oh yeah, just put it on the tab. And I ate like a pastelito. I had like a croissant. I had like two coffees and I leave. I forget to pay. I leave. And
you
then
saw me a tab?
No. I close that tab. I close that tab.
Up a name on
there's a whole roll list.
I never asked.
No, I did. But when I came back, you guys were super busy. And then you were like, oh no, don't worry about it. Just come back later and take care of it. And that is gold, because you don't see that in this day and age. You don't see that kind of trust with people, and being able to walk into a place and it feel like it's you're like coming home yeah. to visit your family. I mean, that's huge.
For me, it's like we're doing just what we're selling our concept. We have a concept for people to feel home. And what made me super happy today is that people feel that way. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole purpose of Suyavana. It doesn't matter if you drink coffee or tea or matcha. Sometimes I have customers and Nayeli's, I'm a coffee break. That's why I haven't been here. So you can come. Have a seat and say hi to us. It's more for us, it's like, and we have this conversation even to this day. It's like, wow, sometimes I'm so tired. It's like, babe, if we go back to like do something else that we want, we may have more money, but this is what we love. And it's important to know that. And the money will come. We all do business because we want it to be better in life. And it's needed with this like price everywhere. You need to do it. But it has to be in. For passion, it has to be part of what you love to do every day. Yeah. We're not here every day happy just because we're faking it. We love this. I love to come here and share my cafecito in the morning with you guys. Mm-hmm. This is a passion that I will always hold with me. And if the day that I don't have this passion anymore, I won't have this type of business. Mm-hmm. I will do something else. Yeah.
Well, once you feel that feeling of what it's like to like pursue your purpose.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
You can't go backward.
No.
It's a tipping point. Once it switches, you're locked in. And maybe it changes and it evolves, but it's purpose driven forward on.
Also, another thing that I want to touch on, which is a little pet peeve of mine. Like, for instance, I'll go into a sushi restaurant and they're blasting reggaeton. You know what I'm saying? Like this is, and I pay attention to those things.
I'm a bad bunny. I'm sorry.
But that's no, and it's not that I don't like reggaeton. It's not that I don't like reggaeton. It's just like I want to be in an atmosphere that's set by the culture of the place, and that's what I felt when I walked in here. Mm-hmm. I heard the music was part of the culture.
Music,
the posters on the
Rumba.
Wall, you know, and that is part of something that the playlist that you throw down sometimes. I'm trying to work. Listen, let me tell you something. This is, if you want to come and work, this is not the coffee shop to come and work, because you're going to be talking to everybody.
Network
for sure, but definitely not get work done.
That is important for people to know that I'm first generation and that I'm here to show what Cuba is for me and for a whole generation like me that is here. Mm-hmm. And they understand the concept and they come here. I have a beautiful community from that era of Cubans that are between everything that happened. Mm-hmm. Culture needs to evolve too.
Yes.
I'm here. I bought my first phone when I was 21, with my first salary here working in a factory. I never saw a phone in my hand, like a cell phone that I can call my phone until I was 21. Mm. And that's things that people don't even ask when you tell them I'm from Cuba, born and raised. That means a lot of things.
Yeah.
So it's been a tough journey, but as a business, as a woman, I can tell people and women that are opening business out there and they want their passion, that it's important to ask for help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's huge. A big part of what the show is about is to really inspire other people, right? To pursue their passion, to see, look, we have two people here that have done it, that are doing it, and you can too. I think what I want to highlight, what happens with businesses and people that start businesses, they feel like they have to add all of these things to keep clients coming. And I think that they start to lose their way in terms of what really called them, what was their passion. And I think another thing I want to mention is that I know that I've seen this happen, and you've told me where you'll have a customer come in here and they're like, oh, that's not how I want it. I want it like this, this, and this, you know, and you're like, well, this is not how we do it here. And we had this conversation the other day that people have gotten too used to going to a place and be like, oh no, I don't want it like that. Change it. And then the person changes it. But if you go to a Michelin-starred restaurant,
we talk about it.
Are they going to change stuff? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They'll kick you out of the restaurant. You know, you know what I'm saying?
We've gotten reviews on that.
Yeah, and it's important to talk about that, because it's not like we don't want to change the recipe. It's we wouldn't start like that. we started like as a coffee shop, you do the drinks, and we added extra shop, but like understanding how Cuban culture works here is I want the colada with extra sugar, or I want the cortadito, and we were like trying to do a specialty coffee. So it's like you don't put white sugar to a good coffee.
Mm.
That's a no-no. I was drinking all my life coffee black. That's a very culture in my family, black or with a little brown sugar, very dark. So I put together a recipe. I was like, I'm not going to change the recipe. People need to understand if they want sugar, it has to be brown, how we used to drink it.
Love it.
And it has to be a little bit because it's a good coffee.
Mm.
If you want something very sweet, this is not your place either. This is not a place to put a lot of white sugar, or like we don't even have white sugar, or a lot of sugar to a good cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Because it's good. It's expensive. It's a specialty. It's so many people behind that cup of coffee that it's not worth it.
I love
So it is important that say that the recipe, because we have even bad review, like they don't want to share the recipe. The recipe comes with the culture.
Yes.
We're educating people that it could be Cuban and good, a specialty coffee, and we are sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still an environment that you feel back home, or you feel that you're part of a different culture.
So
recipes are not changeable.
And I think even just having your staff here, that they're educated and they speak with confidence about your product. The times that I've been here, even just now getting this one, he's like, told me exactly what was in it, how many grams of, because I said, oh, is it sweet? And he said, told me.
Everything have a measurement,
the very rough draft of the recipe, because he wanted to share with me that it's his quality product. And I love that. I think that makes a huge difference.
And going back to what you're saying, that I'm pleasing people, it is important that people that wanted to do anything in life is like, if you have a dream and you have a passion, you're the only person seeing that when you're alone in your mind. So you can't change it, because if not, it's not your dream anymore. It's someone else's dream. I remember coming here and working 12 hours a day, and people, that was the first few months, telling me in my face, you're not going to survive because you're not selling sandwich or pan con bistec or rice and beans.
Wow.
I was like, if I don't do it, if I don't succeed with my dream, it's okay.
Right.
I can start doing something else. Because a good job, you can always find a good job. You don't have a lot of opportunity in life to follow your dream.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And that's a pro tip. That's a pro tip. Bam, bam, bam. Check it. Bam, 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 bam. So you all don't know, but randomly there's a pro tip that comes out in the episode. And that pro tip is like, when you have a dream in your mind, you have the vision for it, and then you start to change it for somebody else, it's not your dream, it's not your vision anymore.
Mm. Damn.
It's not knowledge bombs.
I like this.
And we gotta get like bongos and like.
He plays bongos. I'm telling you, we wasn't prepared for this.
Wow, no, that's super profound. Yeah. Really, that's like the line in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still annoying. It's still like, I find out like that I have a hater and I cry. And then it was like, that's normal. Everybody's not going to like what you do. That's a normal thing, because
it was challenging, man, you know, to try to do a specialty Cuban coffee shop. You know, in the specialty coffee space, you know, it's like that. You don't really see it. So it's like, it's just people look at it as just Cuban coffee, right?
No, especially in the city, because everybody. Yeah. That you say Cuban coffee to, they're like, oh, colada, a pound of sugar, in the coffee.
Yeah,
you know,
I wanted to say very loud that Cuban culture, for you can be born in Alaska with Cuban parents and feel Cuban, but Cuban culture is more than a colada and a croqueta.
Mm-hmm.
It's music, it's film, it's colors, it's people are still fighting for the dream. Until today's day.
Yeah. What we wanted to do was bring to the forefront that we can produce a good Cuban coffee, a really nice Cuban coffee that you can enjoy you know, with all the cultural stuff while drinking and sipping on a really nice coffee, right? Mm-hmm. Which kind of brings me back to like where I got my coffee experience from, you know? So
yeah.
My coffee experience was I was working with a coffee company called Dolphin Cafe, which they were a small batch roasting company that specialized in selling really high-end coffee, right? So the Sumatras, the Jamaican Blue Mountains, the, you know, the Kenyans, the mm-hmm. the Ethiopians, all that stuff that you find in the specialty coffee space. I was already, you know, learning about that, the cultivation side and the altitudes and this, that, and the other, right? So I came with some background yeah. when we were talking about the idea, right? So it was like, wait, I think we can make a specialty Cuban coffee blend, you know, and make it like before 1959, or, you know. Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like it's not just the product, it's not just the branding. You guys are building a lifestyle, I feel. You're articulating a lifestyle in what you're doing. And I think that it's exciting to think about how this could grow, how it is growing. I'm curious, what do you have planned or what's on the vision? Actually, I guess to back it up, a first curiosity of mine is when you that the idea, you know, sparked. Did you automatically think of the 5-year plan, the 10-year plan, or did you just put the 1 foot in front and it's grown? And then from there, are you now in the place where you can see a 5-year and a 10-year from here?
I mean, when everything started, I was trying to put it together. It was more like we have a budget. This is the money that we have to open the business. We ran out of money, have the project. So it was a struggle. We took more money out from a 401k. Yeah. Everything that we have saved for buying a house when we got married, so we put in the business. It was like an emotion of like surviving. I have to pay the rent. I have to sell this amount of ticket. The ticket sale has to be at this. It was so like fast that I couldn't set up a plan. Mm-hmm. I remember one day, Manny looked at me and he was like, we have an amazing brand. This is not a local coffee shop. This is a brand where you created because he was traveling. Mm-hmm. So when he resigned, he really came to the business. He was like, this is a whole brand, what you did here. And then we started like seeing Sri Havana as a long-term because my dream. And that's why we haven't decided to open more location. We don't have investors because it's decision. Every day we make a new decision, mm-hmm. and the decision are based that I want Sri Havana to be a legacy for my kids, and I want generation for now to understand my culture and to drink my coffee.
Wow!
So it's a long term plan now that mm-hmm. we have.
Amazing. It's definitely long term, and we do have a lot of good things that we're working
on. Yeah,
and we're very yeah. super excited about the next stage of the company. You know,
surprise for 2024. Yeah,
okay.
Having the corporate background too, you know, I was exposed to a lot of things. You know, I worked
marketing. You have a marketing.
I have a marketing degree. Mm-hmm. I went to the University of Massachusetts and got my degree from there, which is a prestigious, a really nice school. You know, good business program, right? So I was able to, you know, learn a lot in the business field and, you know, being with big, you know, corporate names, you know, and I worked for Fuji, which is Japanese.
Yeah, it's a, yeah,
Fuji
it's a huge
film,
company.
So,
yeah.
You know, film, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so that was a good experience to be around such an interesting culture, which I love. I love the Japanese culture and learning from them, you know, and how to navigate the business world. So I was super excited when I saw the brand, I was like, oh, yeah. Hey, you stop crying.
I see
the crying. There comes a moment. That's a pro tip. That's another tipping point when you're like, we've got something here. It's time to have confidence.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is put the foot in front of the other. Exactly. Yeah, things are going to come up. Maybe a pandemic's going to hit.
maybe a pandemic's going to hit.
But what happened the day that you got to reopen your doors after the pandemic? Because you had the brand. You had the purpose. I love that.
Yeah. I remember those days, like literally customer sending me a DM like, do you have anything in the fridge? I will buy everything from you.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, you bananas.
And are you the shop? I'm going to go buy. Like at that time, it was like, you can't have people inside.
Yeah.
I'm going to go buy a few deals, gift cards. And they were buying the gift cards from us. It was nice. It was nice with the pandemic, with the like few followers that we had at the time. That's when I recognized, wow, we have a community, a strong community. And that's all you need. Doesn't matter how big it is, you need a strong community to serve. And that's why it's passion for me, because we here for the community, because the community is the one that pays your bills. Mm-hmm. And that's a reality.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're in the city that people go in and out, and the snowbirds are part of the community, the travelers are part of the community, but the people that work hard every day, and they make so little sometimes, but they're willing to pay for a good cup of coffee and for the whole experience.
That's it.
I'm here for those. And it's a whole thing. It's a beautiful thing. We've seen like generation like born like new customers.
Babies.
Seeing like back to back.
What,
15
babies?
No, drink coffee.
Future customers.
So you guys speaking about legacy. I think that's like a giant. When you ask somebody, what's your why? That's your why. It's building a legacy. So these babies that are growing up in here are going to be the next generation coming in here. I only grew up in there.
At least 15 babies.
Wow.
A few that have 2 or 3 babies.
And I love that question, because understanding where your business is going is very peaceful. Mm. And understanding how hard it's going to be, because it's a bit what you want. Like we knew that we took the long road, which is it's harder, because it means that we have to come here for 5-10 more years to show our face, to tell our story, because you don't build a legacy one day to another.
Right.
But that's the route that we're going to go.
I do want to touch a little bit on where our business is going. I mean, even though there's some things that, you know,
top secret.
It's just, you know, things that keeps it exciting, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So, but you know, we feel also that we have a fantastic product. You know, I mean, you gotta remember, I was traveling all over Latin America looking for good coffee everywhere, and I found a lot of good coffee. And I can personally make the comparison, you know, from Guatemala to Colombia to
Brazil,
everywhere. You know, I traveled everywhere, and the business guys that I traveled with, they knew that we were going to stop at least at 3 coffee shops or something, you know, because that's my passion, right?
Yeah.
So I know that we have a really, really, really good product. And I think that's important to get the message out there, right? Because what's happening also is that sometimes you go to a restaurant and you have a 5-course meal, and then you end the fabulous meal with an okay coffee, right? Or not so good of a coffee. Now, why is that? Like, is it because of cost? Is it because someone just looking at it like, how much is the pound and that's it? Or are the chefs involved? You know, there's so many things that has to be wrapped around that decision, right? So we want to be a part of that. We want to sit down with more chefs. We want to, you know, we do have some restaurants that are currently buying from us some stuff right now, and they're very happy with the product. But it's because it's not about how much I sell it for or how much they buy it for. It's about the experience.
Mm-hmm.
We want their customers to feel the same experience, you know, when they finish that meal, wow, that was a nice coffee.
Yeah.
Nice.
You know, so
the cherry on top.
That's very important for us to, you know, to connect with the restaurant community in Miami, especially now that we're making a lot of noise.
Yeah, a lot of noise.
Yeah.
Michelin stuff is coming here, you know. It's nice to see that the city is
bringing a lot of people together.
And we want to be a part of that. You know, we want to put our share of knowledge, and that we can help pair up some food with some coffee.
It's not to wear a ring, which
it's about the whole experience.
That's what I have in my agenda.
Yeah,
that's stuff that we won't talk about.
But like, it's the whole experience. One is it is in the recipe or like people are seeing in the menu. We wanted to people to connect with the story. It's not just selling coffee to anyone. It's just selling the coffee that people are willing to tell the story of what Studio Lana is. Because I believe we're a brand from Miami. this is home to me too. Mm-hmm. We're born here in 2018, and we're Miami brand that represent a big culture of the city too, because Cuba is one of the biggest culture that have been here longest. If I'm saying right.
Miami's known for, you know, having a very strong Cuban community. I mean, everybody knows that, you know, since back then, and still does.
So I wanna, we wanted for our coffee, every time our coffee's out there, our name is about the whole experience, how to educate people. It's not just drink, you drink and that's it. It's a whole moment.
Yeah.
It's a moment to enjoy.
Just to start wrapping it up, I know that everybody's gonna be running to Sweet Havana after they see this. What would you recommend? What's the drink to come in here and get?
If you come Cafecito. Here as a tourist and you ask me Cuban coffee, which is as another podcast, what does Cuban coffee mean to you?
Yeah,
to
we
me,
gotta, we gotta work on that.
Yeah, we have to work on that. To me, Cuban coffee means a moment. To share in a story, because we do talk a lot of Cuba, because we don't have anything else to do in the island. That's why we talk a lot. We talk a lot because we don't do what we love. We just talk and dream and talk and dream and repeat it again. We only have one television series, one cartoon movie, and all we do in the island is talking. So it's a very important to put that on the table. And the way I was exposed all my life, and my family and my friends, was a cafecito, which is espresso with a little brown sugar. So when you go to any house in Cuba or in Miami where a Cuban is involved, they will ask you, do you want a cafecito? And you will say yes, because if
you will say yes.
The person you have to will say change. Yes. So you have to say yes. And then they say, voy a colar café. I don't have a translation for that.
No, I don't think there is.
Café means that they're going to make coffee in this little time. Yeah. I love to put it. And a little mocha, and they go to like brew the coffee in the mocha, and they give you the little cups, like 2 ounces cup, not the little one from the colada, 2 ounces cup. And in my family, they either drink it without sugar or with a little brown sugar. And that's a typical drink. If you ask me, the people that come for the first time, what should we try? A cafecito. I have a gringo from Michigan that he moved into the city. Super cool guy. And he was drinking a cafecito for a week. I was like, are you a coffee lover? He was like, yes. I just pour over at home. I was like, you need to try an espresso.
Oh.
You need to try a coffee without sugar. So he tried the espresso. He was like, I saw him today. He was like, espresso. So is it the culture first, and then we educate people through the process of Sweet Havana coffee, how you can drink our coffee from our cold brew is our bestseller. Delicious, chocolate nose, no acidic. And you can do a pour over at home, which I don't recommend because I like pour over with fruity coffee, light roast, but you can do a French press. I mean, it's a coffee, very bold, very delicious, very drinkable with milk, which I know light roast. I don't like light roast with milk. I prefer dark because that's part of the culture.
I'm trying to think of what I would recommend because I'm all over the place.
For me, cafecito and cold brew. That's my favorite drink.
If we want to get the cultural experience, I would recommend the cafecito or the café con leche. That's the cultural side, right, from the island. If we want to get the true experience. And the café con leche is a latte with a little brown sugar, right? But if you are a coffee lover, then I will go with an espresso. My wife drinks every morning. Myself, I start my day with a black Americano. Milk, it has a nice crema on top. If it don't got no crema, I would check the Americano. I have a nice thick layer of crema on top.
Oh, okay.
So, anyway, I start my day with an Americano. As the day goes, I might switch it up to a little single or double bordado with a little brown sugar. Those are nice. The double bordado is amazing. For the ice drink beers, Yes, café con leche is crazy. And the cold brew is amazing. Those two drinks are neck and neck right now. We got a nice iced double cordales.
Delicious.
So basically, when you come here, try everything. Try everything.
Cafecito is over everybody's.
I want to thank you both. Thank you guys for having this conversation. And tell the people how to connect with y'all, where to find you all, how to come in and have a cafecito.
We're in 2609 North Miami Avenue in Wynwood. Or you can, you know, check out the Instagram, as we have on a cafe. But yeah, I mean, you can find us. We here.
Yeah.
Sri Havana is an amazing, beautiful documentary. It's a silent documentary.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's a silent documentary from Cuba. It's about a few families, real families' daily life.
Wow. I didn't even know that.
That's my
home. No, this
has been a learning experience for me, too.
The came, man. The tiles are authentic Cuban tiles.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a lot of houses. You know? There's a house in Santiago de Cuba. There's a lot of houses that have those tiles in Cuba. So I found this factory here in Hialeah that made those from scratch.
Wow. Oh, the ones that are on the floor over there, too, right?
Over there, too.
Wow.
And
love
these are the textures that add to the details that create the whole experience.
Yeah.
And you were so thoughtful about all.
Thank you guys.
No, thank you all.
So much. I think this is our first podcast.
Yeah, first of many. The first of many.
Coming back here. Oh,
that's what I was
going to
say.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm getting used to expose my story.
Yeah.
I'm very shy, even though like, I talk a lot here on the board for different.
Yeah.
So, and that's why I sometimes get nervous because it's like 5 years bad. A lot of shit has happened.
Yeah.
it's the most important thing, you know?
And it's intimate to share your journey. It's intimate. It's vulnerable to share why you started and why you stuck with it. But that's exactly why we want to be able to host these conversations so that we can highlight what the journey is so that others that want to pursue their dream are not scared by the being vulnerable.
I'm being a woman because we closed at 4 and a lot of people are asking me why. I was like, I have 2 kids and I wanted to enjoy my kids today. I don't want to look back and everything went like this.
Pro tip! Enjoy your kids,
man. That balance between how much money do I need and the time, it has to be equal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It has to be there because it's not like you're not happy. And you're not happy for yourself or your kids, you won't be happy for what you're doing. So the happiness comes with like a good balance. Being able to enjoy the transition. I remember last year was like a crazy year because we have opportunity, we're investor, we have so many things going on, and we have so many things like open like in New York and like so many things. And I sat down one day, I was like, I can. 4 years ago, I was dreaming with this moment where my bank account is not red, where I can pay everything and enjoy my time. And now one more, I wanted to enjoy this.
Yeah, wow. That's important.
Wanted to enjoy this moment where like I'm like, wow, I can work without any other pressure in my mind.
Right.
I'm doing what I love. So it's taking your time too. You can rush the process.
Yeah.
That's profound.
I'm
love that. So to everyone listening, it's possible.
Yes.
It's possible.
It is.
And this story speaks to that because when you have an idea, when you have something that you're passionate about, you take it to somebody else who is in your life and will have to be involved in that journey. And you ask for help. Something that you said, which is important. You said as a woman, but as anyone,
anyone
looking to start anything or do something that's different, you have to ask for help. And I encourage you always to take risks, to believe in yourself, and to lean on the people that you have in your life because they're going to step up and they're going to help you. And if you really believe in your dream and your vision that you have in your mind, hold on to it and keep going.
I'd like to also say one more thing.
Okay.
I want to say thank you to not just, you know, the customers that come here, but the people that also were part of Sri Havana.
Since the first day,
you know, the people that worked here with us that saw the struggle, that, you know, they put their part into it as well. You know, they made some sacrifices as well, you know, just for us to take a little vacation. You know, they were like, go, you know, like those people are, you know who you are. You're very.
Yeah, I can say something like I'm very thankful for Chris. It was like the first person that came on board with me. She was a barista from La Colombe in Philadelphia for 5 years. So I learned a lot from her. Tunavi, that was who asked until the other day. To my sister, never say no to me. Like, we sometime need to drive to Kendall at 5 in the morning to leave the kids and come back here and start baking at 7 to open the shop. So it's a lot of people involved, but like, thank you to you guys to see us and to see and to be able to have the time to listen to a story. This is very nice.
Well, thank you for inviting us to your home away from home.
I could be more here than my house.
So stay tuned. It's Risky Business Podcast. We'll be back in possibly another business, or we're just going to keep coming back here because there's a lot more to talk about.